Welcome, everybody, to episode 118 of the Whiskey and Watches podcast. 118, we finally made it. And spoiler alert, Spangler's not here.
Oh, he called a shot and everything, and he's not here. But you know what? I'm here. I'm back.
This is true. Buzz, you got the back. Buzzman back.
That's right.
He's back.
That's right. I'm sorry to leave you all for so long. Those two weeks, it was intolerable for me as it was for you. But be cool. I'm back. It's a wonderful thing.
It is. It is. That'll keep us on point because last time, I think on the last episode, we almost forgot the ad read. So I don't know if you remember. It happened at like minute 51 for some reason. Spangler and I, we do not stay focused.
Nope. Now that's, come on. You guys weren't doing the pre-production meeting.
We were just, there were no notes taken.
I leave for 2 weeks and this whole affair comes crashing down to the ground.
I mean, we did okay the first week you were gone. It was just the second week. Or was it the other way around? I don't remember. Anyway, it's good to have you back. So why don't you go ahead and lead us off? What's in the glass? What's on the wrist?
Yeah, no, it's great to be back, Spence. In the glass, I have the Twinings Decaf Earl Grey, because sometimes you just want a little bit of tea before bed, and this is one of those times. That and a little bit of ice water. So on the wrist is my Black Bay 58. Super boring. It is on the stock Oyster bracelet. I put it back on the Oyster for vacation, which was 2 weeks ago. And it's interesting because people often talk about the quote unquote go anywhere, do anything watch, which I thought mostly was an acronym in search of an issue, right? Because that's always like some sort of field watch, you know, probably held on with a nylon strap, and maybe it's got some anti-magnetism or shock resistance, like kind of some rugged stuff. Guess what? I visited the beach and everything. The rotating bezel still works, and I know that that's normally, sand is normally what gums those things up. Now, this is the go anywhere, do anything watch. It's perfectly home anywhere from splashing around in the pool to fancy dinner and everything in between. So highly recommend it. If they could make one change, stop nerfing the clasp here. I mean, we'll never get a glide lock, obviously, or even an easy link, even though there are people on the internet that try to get around that. But it's summer. It's sweaty season. Just wear it a little loose. You know, pop one of the micro adjusts out and let it roll. Perfectly fine. Perfectly good. Yeah, I was a little bummed. Not anything to write home about on watch spotting over vacation. That's like really, really infuriating to me. Especially considering last year I saw a Daytona on an Oyster Flex when we were getting ice cream. So like I figured, hey, maybe we'd have some great stuff to talk about when I got back. Mm-mm, nothing. Best watch spotting I did was once we got back. When we went to Mass, someone, the pew behind us, had a aluminum bezel Submariner. Ooh, exotic.
So it's funny. I was just up in Chicago for a conference, and while I was up there, I saw, on the way, I think the biggest one was the gold ceramic Daytona with a black dial on an Oyster Flex at the Cincinnati airport in the Starbucks line. I was wearing my Zenith El Primero, which... Well, you know, I feel like if anybody's like tracking watches or whatever, and they see me wearing that, that would be like, oh, someone had on an El Primero. That's not one you see every day. So like anybody else who's out there watch spotting, when I'm, you know, rocking the El Primero, I feel like I'm doing them a solid.
Oh, without a doubt.
Just for me.
Doing it for the Wiss.
Exactly. One of the folks that I know fairly well who was at the conference had on his really awesome Polar Explorer 2, a 5-digit, which he's had for forever. Saw a couple of newer subs, you know, just ceramic subs. It was an insurance conference, so, you know, that just kind of how that works. And then one of my contacts, who's a female, had on her a Cartier Ballon Bleu, which she wears that watch all the time. I don't know if she's got anything else. It wouldn't shock me if she did, but she wears that every time I see her. She's got that on. So, heck of an only watch if it's her only one. It's two tone, so it's got the gold and steel. So it's a solid piece.
Yes.
Some watch spotting.
That is brilliant. Oh, by the way, I'm not the only one that's hot on this Black Bay 58 is the go everywhere, do it, everything watch at Watches of Espionage on Insta was extolling the virtues. It's kind of boring. I would say it's a solidly room temperature take, but it is a correct take.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of watches that could be go anywhere, do anywhere, do anything watches. And the reason I say that is I'll go ahead and get into my wrist check. I've been wearing my Oris PPX quite a bit this week. Nice. We'll get into the reason why a little bit later, but there is something to be said for time and date, the lightweight of the titanium. This one doesn't have micro adjust. It's kind of like the one thing, but with the way the clasp works, I think it'd be kind of difficult to do. I wear it just slightly loose because one more link would be too tight. It works really nicely. Feels really secure. The titanium, the lightweight, Grandpa, you're onto something here. Like, I still like a nice heavy watch, but you know, it's been really nice wearing this the last 3 days. I've been really enjoying this 100 meters of water resistance. Like, I know that if I go to the pool, I'm still putting on one of my divers. Because that's what one does. You have divers. You're going upstairs to put your bathing suit on or to grab your stuff. You switch your watch. It's what you do. However, if I forgot it, it's not like it only has 50 meters or what have you. So that's what I'm wearing. That's what I've been wearing. I did try today to take it off of the bracelet. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but there's a little bit of foreshadowing. There was a reason why I did it. I knew it was going to be going back on the bracelet, but I thought this strap would look really good on it. And I'm sure it would have if I could have gotten it on. The lugs on this look bigger because of the large end link that makes it integrated looking. But I think they're either 19 or 20. And if they're 20, they're a very thin 20 because the bracelet or the strap that I had was 20. But it had the quick adjust, so like they're not at like normally. You're like, if I have a regular spring bar, I can still kind of jam a 20 into a 19.
Right.
With the quick release, the way they're built, that sleeve that slides in and out, you cannot unless you bend it. And I don't want to bend it, nor damage the watch. So, unfortunately, the strap I'll talk about later did not go on this watch. Although I think it would look really good on it. Anyway. So that's what I've got on the wrist. And in the glass, you know, I feel like we owe it to our friends over at Spirit of Time to get into a little bit more detail on what we have in the glass every once in a while. So I have something. It's a bit of a combination. And you know, it's interesting because I don't really like Natty Light that much. That was never my go-to. It's too almost, I want to say if I'm remembering correctly, a little bit too sweet for me compared to Keystone. It didn't have the right palate feel. Now I will say I'm usually a good strawberry lemonade guy. You make me a nice refreshing strawberry lemonade, but somehow I feel like the way the Natterday hits, when you mix the strawberry lemonade with the really crappy natural light, it somehow is better than the sum of the parts. Like it's not syrupy. It's still very light. It has a very crisp finish. Mm. Really good, refreshing drink. And unlike Le Chouf, which was between 8% and 9%, according to what I remember hearing earlier today as I was listening, this one's only 4.2. So like these, you're outside on a hot day mowing the lawn, you're out on the boat, you're doing any number of fun summer activities. These are light, they're refreshing, they're under 100 calories. You have the nice flavor. It's like if you like a sour, like a good like summer sour. On occasion, I like a sour in the summer, like a good, refreshing, crisp feeling drink. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with the Natterday. A little bit more in-depth review of the Natterday. You know, they come in 30s. You're welcome.
At the Deck household, we have really locked in on Modelos and Pacificos for the summer beer. Because it can't be hot scotch summer, hashtag hot scotch summer, the whole summer, right? Sometimes you do just need a beer.
Yes.
But maybe I got to pick up some Fratterdays.
You might want to try these, because I've been preaching the Natterday gospel, and everybody who I've tried them to is like, you know, I didn't have high expectations. They've been exceeded. They weren't that high to begin with, but this is way better than it has any right to be for the price and for the alcohol content. Actually, my one neighbor, he's a doctor. He's like, this has fewer calories than what I normally drink in the summer, and I like it. I should just start buying this.
30 rack too. That's the sort of economizing that people might need soon, you know?
$20.99 plus tax, depending on your state.
Okay, so, but the real question is, what's a 30 rack of natty these days? Like, how badly has that gone up?
It's probably roughly the same. I don't buy natty. I only buy these. I'm going to put that straight. I can tell you that a 24-pack of Yingling's roughly the same, 20, 21, 22 bucks. Like, I feel like, I don't know. It's been a while since, like, let me put it this way. The elasticity of said price of the beer, it has a ton of price elasticity, because I'm going to buy it whatever it's at, realistically, because I'm not paying attention.
Ceteris paribus. Yeah, okay. Yeah. There we go. Let's get some economics in this podcast. I'm going to actually just look up what Natty Light are right now.
I'm going to go $18.99 for a 30. Which makes this a $2 premium.
It is. It is.
Oh! Put me on the prices right.
Well, I mean, it depends. That's the normal price. It's actually $17.99 on sale for the 4th of July.
Well, that makes sense.
Get pumped for Independence Day, right?
But, I mean, it's no PBR 1776 pack, but, you know, nothing is.
Exactly.
Spengler's not here, but we got to get that in.
Yeah. Oh man, I still remember when that $18 price point, you could get a 24-pack of Coors or Miller Lite when we were in college.
It's probably still close to that though, isn't it?
No, because the natties used to be like 11 or 12 for a 30 rack.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Did they?
They were.
Yeah, I was more of a Keystone cheap guy. So I was more of a Keystone guy. That might have been a little premium.
Yeah, who knows?
Anyway.
All right. Well, crummy beer, like tier zero beer talk. That's why people tune into Whiskey and Watches. So
yeah, it's Whiskey and Watches. I feel like people are gonna try this and they're gonna be like, he's not wrong. Is it good? Kinda. Is it better than it should be? Absolutely.
Promo code Spence for nothing off your first purchase or any purchase of Natterdays.
You will thank me though.
And isn't the eternal respect and admiration of your peers all worth it?
Yes. Why do you think we do this podcast?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
That's it. Anyway, so should we move on to the Fresh Form Finds?
We should definitely move on.
We should.
Okay. Well, I'm feeling fresh, Spence, so I will start this one. Okay, on the wilds of Wachuseek, there is a little something from 2004 calling the name of some lucky watch idiot savant. And we've been on this for quite some time, and I think we're seeing the prices come down a little bit, because for $8,300 United States dollars, which is important, not any of those other knockoff dollars, you can scoop yourself a 2004 Rolex Datejust Turnograph. Okay, so this bad boy is Gold, Super Jubilee, Black Dial. And if, man, if it was the White Dial, it would really call for some soul searching about how quickly I could sell all of my junk, you know?
And if by White Dial you mean Anthracite Dial, but yes. I'd be right there with you if it was the Anthracite.
Yeah. Looks white to me, damn it.
No, so, I mean, yeah. Like, if by white you mean the gray dial is the answer.
Yeah.
Because that's where I'm at. The dark gray dial really speaks to me with that watch.
Yeah, the dark gray is sweet. I like the white, though. Yeah, I mean, it's in good shape for a 2004 watch. It doesn't look pristine, and it doesn't look like it was, you know, tossed in a old Folgers can full of nails and rattled around like some stuff does. And no boxer papers, so that's a bummer. And person apparently has positive references on the Rolex forums, and you know, shipping via FedEx with parcel pros included in the price. So service history unknown. Runs and winds smoothly, though. Date snaps right at midnight. Time grapher shows it's running accurately. So yeah, that's an exciting listing. That would be a good one, I would
that's,
say.
That's two-tone for 80.
Yes.
300? That's 83. Impressive.
Yeah, that's just that.
That's impressive.
So, yeah, good little watch.
Yeah.
Time grapher and everything. Oof,
yep.
That's impressive. All right.
So the watch I have is a little bit bigger than that.
It is.
It is a little bit bigger than that. It's a 40-millimeter watch. Integrated bracelet,
ooh,
but significantly less expensive.
Okay, so which variant of Royal Oak is this?
Significantly less expensive. This would be a Black Dial Tissot PRX Powermatic 80, 11mm thick, integrated bracelet, boxes, links, papers included, very lightly worn. This is on Watch You Seek. Guy says, feel free to DM. He's like, I wanted to try an integrated bracelet sport. This is my favorite part of the listing. It's, I wanted to try an integrated bracelet sport watch and found it simply not for me. It seems my taste really gravitates towards old man dress watches. So,
oh,
guy knows what he likes now after trying the Tissot. And I guess, you know, it's a pretty inexpensive way to try a trend out. I mean, honestly, I know Bro and Schmidt were talking about this in their most recent episode. I really like just the smooth bezel. I think it's a fantastic look, but Schmitty was not wrong with the fluted 18 karat gold bezel. That'll set you back another grand, but like, it's still sub 2K for a killer watch with a little bit more flash. But this one, if you're interested, shipping from Alabama, only $459, and that includes the shipping.
All right.
That watch is a steal at $650. At $459, you're doing all right for that
pretty,
watch.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I've tried this watch on. I've written about this watch, which we'll talk about later. Like, it just, it's a fun watch. Like, I've tried on the quartz version. That quartz version has no business being $350. It is an insanely good watch, and it's even thinner. I think it's like 10 millimeters thick. It's unbelievable. Like, they've absolutely crushed it with this one. So if that's a watch that you're interested in, go pick that up, is what I would say. I can't imagine it's going to be around for too long. It's been around for 10 days, so. Anyway. Well, so it's interesting. We were probably going to be talking about, not on this episode, but maybe on next episode, something that I was supposed to go and do. But, you know, unfortunately, this podcast has a second sponsor, which is the fine folks at United. The fine folks at United, who canceled two flights on me to get to New York to go to the Oris event. So I missed hanging out with VJ, Josh, Rolf, and all the fun other watch media folks, which I'm still just absolutely thrilled that we get invited to go do stuff like that. But travel woes aside, it looks like everybody had a great time.
But you know who doesn't let you down?
This is true.
Like United
lets us down. I'm getting there.
That's pretty long.
So we'll get there in a second.
Okay.
United stinks. At least this time. Newark, just don't try to fly into Newark. I've heard this. It was funny. I read an article on Wednesday about this and was like, oh, I really hope that I make it to New York and back. And then like, boom, didn't make it to New York and back. So anyway, but you know who doesn't let you down? Our friends at Manscaped, who are actual sponsors.
That's right.
Of this show.
That's right.
And if you wanted to sample and or to try out any of their fine products, or if you've tried them before, and I don't know, it's sweaty season. I use the Crop Preserver all the time, at least daily. Same thing with the Revitalizer, at least probably once a day. So if you're like me and are probably running low and you need to replenish and you still wanted that discount, it hasn't expired yet. Buzzy, what's that code to let them know that we sent them?
Buzzcut, 20% off and free shipping.
And free shipping.
You got to enjoy that. I mean, 20% off would be good enough as is, but they throw in that free shipping. And you're going to enjoy that. You're going to enjoy when these things are shipped to you. We've talked about this before, right? Every tool should have an LED light on it. I mean, you know, that the first time that I got to use an impact driver that had a built-in LED that was on when I was using it, I thought, oh God, this is brilliant. Well, turns out even more brilliant than my Milwaukee M18 fuel impact driver is our lawnmower.
The lawnmower. Mm-hmm.
It's 4.0.
It is. And there's not, most of the places you're going to use that, there's not much light.
No, definitely not.
So
definitely not.
Always good to be able to see what you're doing. And the ceramic blades, you know, really helps reduce irritation.
Yeah, because I like my materials to have insanely high compressive strengths and virtually not that much tensile strength when I'm using them in, you know, compressive loading situations like a blade. Yeah.
The other thing I will say is I've been really enjoying the Boxer Briefs 2.0. I'm very particular when it comes to undergarments. Yeah. Because especially in the summer, you need breathability, you need good airflow. And there are a couple of mesh panels on these in certain key areas that are quite helpful from a breathability standpoint. And the other thing too that I've learned is, you know, having played a number of sports that focus on lower body strength, it's important for me to make sure that whatever I'm wearing keeps things from chafing. Like chafing, nobody likes that. Nobody enjoys that. And the legs, they hold tight. They don't ride up. You wear a boxer brief for a reason. You don't want them to turn into briefs. And these don't turn into briefs depending on what you're doing, which is thumbs up in my book. So
Exactly. Well put. Has the virtues of both the boxer and the brief with the vices of neither.
Exactly.
Don't sleep on the weed whacker either, though.
Oh no, not at all. Actually, I probably need to use mine tomorrow.
I did actually see an ear hair, an errant ear hair, so I gotta go back in and zip. Yeah, get it right out, which is good because my alternatives to that is having scissors. My wife use small scissors. That's no good.
You better hope she's not mad that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Any of this interests you? 20% off. You can tell them we sent you. Promo code?
Buzzcut.
There you go. Let them know that Spence, Buzzy, and on occasion Spangler sent you.
Right.
All right. Moving on. So back to the trip that didn't happen. Unfortunately, I was unable to join a lot of the fellow watch nerd media. It's funny they consider us media. in New York, which is too bad because it looked like everybody had a great time meeting Aaron Boone, who was rocking the gold Oris Carey's Fort Reef edition, which is just such a baller watch. Just so awesome and over the top. And it was actually on theme because, you know, the Carey's Fort Reef, obviously those watches went to sponsor the Coral Restoration Foundation down there in the Florida Keys. And the watch that was released yesterday, also aquatically themed, obviously a new Oris Aquis with a green mother of pearl dial to support the Billion Oysters Project, which is on Governor's Island just south of Manhattan, essentially helping restore the oyster reefs, partnering with, you know, conservation to help building, help keeping the shoreline in place, helping filter water, and then also sustainably being able to harvest them for consumption and enjoyment, which I'm a big oyster fan. So any way you can harvest those sustainably and keep, continue to eat them, but not harm the population and not get any of the natural benefits is it's a way to go.
Well, that's the gift that keeps on giving. I also thought that it was interesting how they need to kind of make a closed loop thing that they needed the shells the used shells to plant more of these oyster beds. I'm an engineer. I not to put too fine a point on it, I design things that never existed before and I make them exist, and it's very cool. I enjoy that. Yeah, it may not be cool in the like wearing leather jackets and smoking cigarettes and riding motorcycles sense of cool, but it is a good outlet. I just want to know that whoever came up with these ideas for building, like restoring reefs and oyster beds, like at some point, someone that was just completely, completely into reefs was like, hey, we can get a bunch of PVC pipes and orient them in a certain place and, you know, grow some more reefs. Yeah, I love the, sheer like tenacity of it. Yeah, so not wearing a hat right now, but if I were, it would be off to you, whoever invented these techniques.
I mean, it's somebody going out there saying there's got to be a way, right?
Exactly.
There's
got to
be a way, and I'm going to figure it out, which is just it's really awesome. And, you know, just kind of going back to the watch, the 41.5 millimeter Aquis case, I have that case. It wears exceptionally well. Actually, a couple of our buddies at Red Bar were like, this actually might be too small for me. Not for me personally, but some of the bigger guys are like, I know it says 41.5, but like this looks like 38 on my chonky wrist. So I might go 43.5, which, you know, unfortunately for this watch, you don't have that option. You do have that in the new Cherry case that they just released, but has the metal bezel, a green mother of pearl dial, which is gorgeous. Comes with both a bracelet and a khaki green rubber strap and a strap change tool because it's the older caliber, not the caliber 400. So a little bit less expensive, but also you have to use the screw tool to get the bracelet or the strap on. It doesn't have the new quick release system, but really good looking watch. Really, really neat. I think each dial will be slightly different because of the mother of pearl pattern, but the color will be a little bit more consistent. So it's a fun one. I really like it. Big fan.
Yeah, they have to. That's that green mother. Yeah, I just pulled up an article. Goodness, it's gorgeous. Yeah, so they essentially have to add some color in because that's not like what mother of pearl looks like, but the result is something that looks very natural, even though it isn't. Just it's mesmerizing. I really, it's funny, like I don't normally flock to the metal bezels, but that's utterly perfect for this one.
Yeah.
Utterly, it works really so well. Perfect. Yeah, that's a good looking watch. Great work, guys. Great work.
And of course, on the case back, a little relief drawing of three oysters. So, you know, just to remind you what the some of the proceeds are going to support. So, no, that one's a lot of fun. I know you want to touch a little bit more on another Aquas with the Caliber 400 that came out recently. We talked about this a little bit, but I know you're a huge fan of the new two-tone Aquas's. Aquai.
Yes. The bicolor, however you want to, want to refer to it. The blue is bonkers. I really, really like it on the rubber, especially. I wonder if at some point, okay, so here's my, really the only thing that I wanted to discuss on this is why the bracelet isn't two-tone also. And I mean, you guys brought up, obviously, that would drive up the price. And mm-hmm. I do think that it's, probably imprudent to go all the way with the first release of this, like gold bicolor. But the other thing that I'm wondering is that with the bracelet design, the center lengths on the Aquas bracelet are normally brushed. So
correct.
Which theoretically, gold's typically polished on a bracelet, but it could be satin too. I'm just wondering maybe if they didn't quite find something that a combination they liked on that.
It could be. I do really think, having a few inside conversations with some people at the brand, I think, and Rolf, the time that we had, a brief interview with him when I was in Vail, their big thing is it has to make sense. So I get having it on the bezel. I get dressing it up. I'm kind of with you, like, just for what they stand for and the price point, I don't know that it makes sense. It might. I mean, I think it would tie together. The other thing I think is interesting too is they could have gone the route of Tudor with the black base steel and gold.
Yes.
And done a solid gold bezel and then capped center length.
And that's what I would recommend.
The entire bracelet is satin finished. Like on the Tudor, it's not a polished center link. It is a satin center link. So they could have done that. Maybe they will. Maybe that might be the route they go. I would love to see it. Like, I would love to see what it would look like. Even if they just had a proto, it's like, hey, we didn't like the way it looked. This is what it looked like. I'm just curious.
Oh, I guarantee you they have a prototype of that. Once again, me being an engineer, we build so many prototypes of things that never come out. I agree. And that's my recommendation. I would just do gold capped centered links, and that would be perfectly fine. It does make sense because your touch point of the bezel is where you're going to want the durability, the solid gold. So yeah, it'd be wild. Be interesting to see. So super cool though. I like it, and just it's so ridiculous on rubber. There really is a kind of devil may care attitude to it.
Well, and I think that the cool thing about that too is I feel like they're the two-tone or the bicolor versions of the Diver 65 with the bronze, either the bronze bezel, even the two-tone bronze bracelet that they kind of have done with the bronze center links. I feel like those have been very popular. Like even if you just go with the all steel bracelet or any of the other number of limited editions that they've done, that bronze bezel kind of gives it that even more that vintagey look. And it's like, you kind of want to do that on the Aquas and make it a little bit, I don't say more of a flex piece, like make it that, give it that same like color contrast. And I feel like two-tone is definitely having a moment. So it makes a ton of sense, but it also, the Aquas is their modern, not like high tech dive watch. It makes sense to use 18 karat gold, not to use bronze on the Aquas. Like if you're going to do a two-tone Aquas, it has to be gold. It can't be bronze. That would not speak to what that watch is. So I'm glad that's the way that they went.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
Okay.
For a watch that has an 18 karat gold bezel, and it's a pretty hefty bezel, it's a pretty reasonable price. So
yes, Yeah, it's not much of a price increase at all.
Yeah.
So.
So you can talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean we're talking bracelets, so little bracelet release that I just saw recently was the Forstner Model O. So that's out for Black Bay, the Omega Seamaster and Speedmaster. So that is an oyster type of bracelet. But the party trick there is that it's got a little spring-loaded link right by the clasp, give you a little bit of extra comfort. So for the Black Bay, it's $175. It's got, you know, the clasp is still that milled clasp like on my Jubilee, but it's got the little springy link near the clasp. Thought that was really pretty compelling.
Yeah, I mean it's not quite Glide Lock or Easy Link, but you know, it definitely helps. I mean it's half of the party trick of the Tudor Pelagos.
Yes, without a doubt.
So, and they've executed it. If they've got it in a clasp that is similar to the one that you have. There are a lot more vintage clasps that were like that. And realistically, the stamped clasp that I had on that Rideau before I let it go had a similar feature. And it's quite nice, especially if you can get it in a nice thin clasp, which I would imagine Forstner has done. So I think that is funny how that comes out just in time for summer.
Exactly.
talk about timing your release quite well. It's like, hey, everybody getting a little sweaty, a little bit thick-wristed by the end of the day. Have we got something for you?
I wear my bracelets a micro adjust out in the summer and just kind of deal with it slanking around because it's way better than it being stuck on my wrist. But
or having something a blue hand.
True. And then another random bracelet-related thing that I saw was on one of the Monta Facebook groups that I'm on, and somebody on there said, unexpected surprise that his Monta bracelet fits his Speedy perfectly.
Ooh, that is interesting and unexpected, given that their fitment is typically...
Yeah, like not even
close. Rolex adjacent. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was very, very interesting. So you get the toolless micro adjust.
Mm-hmm. That remind me when we're talking about summer reading lists, because that reminds me of another Strap Check article. But another one that I got in, anybody considering, and at this point, I think he might be running out of the 20s or he might be restocking. But the Strap Habit Brodinky collab for the pink sailcloth strap, I got that in last week. Tried to put it on the PPX today because I thought it would look really killer. But either this watch has 19mm lugs, which they look bigger than that because of the larger end link that kind of gives it that integrated look, or the spring bar. My guess is this has 19mm lugs, and I'll try it on the Speedy tomorrow. It'll fit just fine. Like the easy or the quick release spring bar, just I couldn't quite get it in. I don't want to like damage the spring bar or break the watch. It's a really awesome sailcloth strap. Comes with two different size non-buckle ends in case you have a smaller wrist or you want to, you know, your wife wants to wear one of your watches, you need to swap it out, get it a little bit smaller. That, you know, will break in nice and easy. Not really a complaint, but kind of one of the features of most sailcloth straps is the leather backing. It's a very nice, soft, supple leather. It wears nicely. Just means that I'm probably not wearing it outside in the Cincinnati heat for an extended period of time. Might end up being more of a fall and spring strap. But a lot of fun pop of color. Go on a lot of different watches. Really well made. It supports a good cause. So if you're so inclined, I would highly recommend it. It's it's going to go on a watch here probably tomorrow. I tried to get it on this one today, and I just couldn't quite make it work. So I think it's anybody wondering, Auris PPX 39mm probably has 19mm lugs. I did not read the fine print because I didn't care. I was buying it regardless.
That's all right.
Did not.
That's good to know. And that guy that runs Trap Habits, very, very cool dude, just up the road from us, actually.
Yes, up in Columbus.
So, yeah. That's good.
All right. So one of the last things I think we want to talk about before we wrap up today, trying to keep this episode a little bit shorter for you all, Buzzy had the idea go over a little bit of a summer reading list, like some articles that we've seen that you may or may not have seen that have caught our eye and have been really good reads lately. So Buzzy, why don't you go ahead and lead us off?
Yeah, absolutely. Gonna start out with former guest of the show and all around that great guy, Cole Pennington. Has a great photo report up on Hodinkee. Posted just yesterday. Entitled, Check Out These Tough Seikos and Rough Land Cruisers at an Enthusiast Meetup in Utah. So apparently the Horological Society of Utah knows how to party and somehow has like the perfect confluence of like definitely Cole's interests and I would say like most anyone's interests, right? Got an incredible amount of land cruisers out there and even had some Suntory Japanese whiskey for the event. Seemed like it was a lot of fun. A lot of people obviously wearing Seikos to it. His birthday.
It was Cole's birthday. So happy belated birthday, Cole.
Happy birthday, dude.
One of our avid listeners at Watch Sully's who's listening probably to this actually shot me the invite. So it was actually put on by Seiko for the Horological Society of Utah. So that was why there was a bunch of Seiko watches there, because Seiko was involved in this.
That's cool.
Fantastic event. Looked like an absolute blast. He sent some other like more candid shots those types of things are a ton of fun. So that looked like a really, really awesome event.
Yeah. Big, big fun. Had another one from our friends at Fratello. They had a great exclusive article, mind you, on kind of a behind the scenes of the manufacturing process for the Moonwatch. So
Moonwatch or Moonswatch?
Yeah, Moonswatch. That's right. It was a great photo essay. Lots of cool details, and even went to the dial manufacturer and stuff. So, yeah, it was an impressive deep dive. I sent that one out to the group chat. That one came out June 21st. So, yeah, that's Fratello exclusive, an inside look at the Moonswatch production facilities. Definitely check that one out.
That one was an excellent read. That's an excellent recommendation. The one that I said before I forget, you were talking about the Manta fitting on the Speedy. I want to say it was Ben Hodges for Fratello wrote essentially a strap check article about swapping the Chronoscope clasp onto the Speedy bracelet and the pros and cons. Yes, it fits, but the channel on the interior piece doesn't, it just makes the bracelet a little bit thicker. Spoiler alert, read it. I can't imagine they're not coming out with one for the standard Speedy here at some point. Like, I really feel like you're going to be able to do that at some point. And you can order these pieces. You can swap it all out. It doesn't quite fit the same way that you would think it was. But anyway, speaking of strap check articles on Fratello, on the 23rd, yours truly actually wrote a review of the Oris bronze bracelet on the that I sourced and put on my Fratello Oris. So if you're so inclined to go check that out, been able to write a few things for them over the past couple of months. It's been a lot of fun. That was the most recent post. I think I was the first person who had written an article for them that sourced one of those bracelets. So they're like, oh, you should write this up. I was like, oh, happy to. So it was kind of fun to write about the experience. And I think I said the only drawback or my only like downside of that bracelet was it took me a while to get one. One, that was because of demand. And two, that was because I sort of screwed up the order. I forgot to hit confirm. So I was like, hey, is this coming? And like, we don't have a record of you ordering it. I was like, ah, oh, shit. Okay. My bad. So anyway, that was why it was delayed a little bit. Partly it was on my fault. But when I saw our buddy Jeremy at Timepiece Love posting his new blue one, I was like, I got that. Where's my bracelet? I gotta get it in. The patina is coming very nicely. I wore it the other day and had a ton of green on my arm. And then I showered and didn't even care about washing my wrist. And it was gone. Like it doesn't stain. It's a residue. It washes right off. Everyone, like the bracelet still articulates just fine. I know a bronze bracelet is overkill, but that's why you get it. That's why. That is exactly why you get one. All the options. I want all of them. So, nice.
Well, I have one more that is not watch related. It's very niche, but, I've been reading a great translation of Four Plays by Aristophanes recently. It was translated by Aaron Puchigan. And so he translated The Clouds, The Birds, Lysistrata, and The Assembly Women. And so Aristophanes was a comedic playwright back in Athens. He was kind of frenemies with Socrates. They show up in each other's art, and yeah, it's funny because we think that like I personally always had thought that like the raunchy comedy genre peaked in the late 2000s. You know, these guys, Aristophanes definitely has the raunchy part down. This is really ridiculous stuff, considering especially how long ago it was written.
Well, you didn't clarify early 2000s AD or BC. So,
well, yeah, I mean that even if it was BC, that would be yeah. No, it's really funny. It's some funny stuff. You wind up having such absurdities as a son being sent to learn with Socrates, and then after he's done learning from him, he makes the argument to his dad why it would be right to beat him. You know, the birds, the people, like these guys want to get out of Athens, and they go and convince the birds to build a city in the sky that they can live in, and that they will intercept all of the offerings that are supposed to go to the gods, and the birds will become the new gods. So yeah, I mean, just some really zany stuff. Very foul-mouthed, very, very funny. Those ancients, they are way closer to us than you would think. So
it's funny you mentioned that, because one of the books that I've been trying to plow through and didn't realize that it was anywhere near as long as it was, essentially the biography of Alexander Hamilton, you know, the one that, you know, kind of pseudo inspired the musical and all that other kind of stuff. It is a long one. The amount of detail in this book, it is really impressive when you think about the amount of information that you'd have to gather to write over 750 pages on a person who was around for about 40 plus years, 200 plus years ago. It's really impressive. And like you said, people have kind of been people for longer than we think they have. We think, oh, we're so much different than folks from back then. And it's just the debates, the whole idea of, oh, political parties are so divided now. Oh, no, they were divided back then too. Like, you don't we look at history to a degree through rose-colored glasses for what some of these folks set up. But when you look at, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, it's like, oh, no, they are really not that much different than us. So it's another little interesting thing that people have kind of just always been people, even right. though we always think, oh, we're either the best or the worst. We're all kind of still the same that we've been for thousands of years.
If not hundreds. Although the distressing thing is, like, the Federalist Papers, for example, were actually, you know, in the newspaper, right? Like, yeah. Obviously more people can read now, but the people that could read back then were capable of comprehending high level arguments, detailed yes. arguments like that in a way that most people today are incapable of. So
the other thing though too is there were definitely newspapers that were the equivalent of the internet today though. That is what I have also learned, which is like, it's like, oh, there's the newspaper that was like, oh, this guy's newspaper publishes this for this faction, and this guy's newspaper publishes whichever one you decide to buy. It's like, oh, whichever website I decide to go to informs my opinion, and they're both rags.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you didn't have the internet to fritter away your time. Your choices were like, learn to play musical instruments, converse with your family, you know, read a newspaper or go to sleep.
Read this guy's newspaper, which means that I align with Thomas Jefferson. Read this guy's newspaper, which means I align with George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, and neither side really agrees. So. Mm-hmm. Just kind of funny. It's funny. That sounds kind of familiar.
That's right.
Anyway. people are still people. And apparently back when with Aristophanes, same thing.
Definitely. Definitely.
So, and on that note,
on that bombshell,
people are people. Congratulations, everybody. We're really, really exposing stuff here. We'll catch you all next week on maybe episode 119 is the one that we were talking about. Who knows? We'll see. We'll catch everybody next week.
See ya.